Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. Joining us is Peter LaBarbera, the president of AmericansForTruth.com, and he is with LifeSiteNews.com. Peter, in public schools in Illinois and across the nation, students and teachers will be observing what the left likes to call the Day of Silence. On April 21st, many classrooms will remain silent to address what opponents call anti-LGBTQ behavior. What are they talking about?
Well, the Day of Silence is a homosexual and now transgender activist event, which is basically used to promote pro-LGBT propaganda in schools. Now, they would not say that's the case, but that's what it is. A lot of times we've seen, or even the teachers get involved in this day, and they're obviously promoting one side of a moral issue. Homosexuality and gender confusion, transgenderism, these are moral issues. There are many students who are opposed to celebrating homosexuality, celebrating gender confusion, and that's what this event essentially does. And so, you know, we've opposed the Day of Silence for years because schools should not be a place for pro-homosexual propaganda. One of the sponsors of this group, one of the longtime supporters, is GLSEN, which is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. GLSEN is the foremost LGBTQ, and that Q stands for queer, by the way, by their own definition, propaganda organizations in the world. It has a long history of promoting inappropriate material in schools, pro-same-sex marriage, lesson plans for young children. This is the type of organization that is sponsoring this event. Now, first of all, since when do schools align with activist organizations? Or when, you know, they would never, you would never see schools aligning with an event sponsored by the NRA, for example, you know, the National Rifle Association, or a Right to Life group. But here they are aligning with a gay activist event, now a transgender activist event in schools. It's inappropriate. It should not be celebrated. Schools should do nothing to advance this Day of Silence.
How should Christian students and their parents respond to the Day of Silence? Should kids just not show up that day, or should they take any counteractions? What should they do?
We've seen various responses to the Day of Silence over the years. One was, as you said, to just pull the student out. The parent calls up the school and say, hey, look, you know, first of all, ask the school, what are you doing on the Day of Silence? But be prepared for some dissembling here, because a lot of times the schools are not completely honest. They actually are giving sanction to this event, but they don't tell the parents, well, we're encouraging, you know, or we allow students to go silent in the class, because that's one thing the Day of Silence does. It allows, in schools that tolerate it or encourage it, they're allowing the students to go silent as a sort of a protest in school. Now, how can that be, where a student intentionally doesn't answer questions, et cetera. And in some extreme cases, the teachers also go silent. So this is really an activist day. And so find out what the school's doing. And if the school is cooperating with the Day of Silence in any way, you can pull your child out, because that will send a powerful message to the schools. Because schools, when a child misses school, they lose actually funds for you know, per student. Another thing people do is some kids take advantage of the fact that the more liberal students are going silent, and they talk to them about homosexuality or talk to them about the gospel. You know, the fact is that there are many ex-gays. There are many people who've left homosexuality behind. People like Stephen Black, people like Charlene Cothran. Talk about these things during the Day of Silence. But, you know, a lot of students don't want to do that because there's tremendous politically correct pressure on the side of the Day of Silence. And so a lot of kids are timid. They don't want to go out and be activists at school, and they shouldn't have to be. And so there are various ways to respond. But the most important thing is call the school, find out where they are on this Day of Silence. What exactly, how are they responding to it?
Conservative parents are increasingly taking a more active role in their public schools, questioning curriculum, raising issues about speakers, and a lot of those speakers have left-leaning points of view. And they're fighting policies that allow students into restrooms and locker rooms opposite of their sex. Will those efforts make much of an impact, or public schools just too far gone?
Well, I think a lot of Christians and even non-Christians believe the schools are too far gone, and they take their own approach either through Christian schools or homeschooling, and we applaud homeschoolers. But the fact is, there will always be, or for the next few decades probably, there will be public schools, and a lot of those kids will be influenced by the political correctness in the public schools. And then there's other factor of the fact that people are paying for those schools, whether they have children in them or not. Tax dollars go to those local schools. And so, yes, it's good to get involved. It's good to get involved even if you don't have a kid in school. If the school is allowing a boy who thinks he's a girl and just decides he's a girl and he wants to go into the girls' restroom or the girls' locker room or, you know, play on girls' sports teams, that's preposterous. That is against nature. It's against biology. It's against reality. And every parent, everybody who pays taxes into that school should speak up.
President Trump is being praised by many conservatives for rescinding Obama administration directives regarding school restrooms and locker rooms. He's essentially saying that those decisions should be made in local school districts, not on the federal level. Do you agree with that? Or is this just maybe a cop-out? The administration doesn't want to deal with this issue.
We're happy that President Trump abandoned this Obama policy. It's good that he stopped this policy, and obviously this was Obama using his bully pulpit and his presidential power in an inappropriate way to push his leftist ideology on the nation. And Americans were sick and tired of that. Now, Trump has done some things that we don't like on the LGBT issue. We don't like that he said that gay marriage is settled law. It's not settled law. It's a two-year-old decision by the Supreme Court, which was a ridiculous decision. Two men can't get married no matter what the Supreme Court says. So we're going 50-50 on Trump. Right now, he seems to be, he'll do one thing for conservatives, then he'll do another thing for the homosexual activists, including he re-signed one of Obama's executive orders on federal contractors, which was not a good decision. But we're very happy about this transgender, ending this transgender mandate from Obama. And the left is going nuts over this. But the fact is, the polls are with the American people on this. Most Americans, by about, upwards 55-60%, in some states higher, oppose allowing especially boys to go in girls' restrooms at schools. Girls' locker rooms, the numbers go even higher. I mean, parents do not want this. This is a project of the left. The same left that brought us the homosexual agenda is now pushing transgenderism and even beyond. It's going to go to polyandry. It's going to go to, which is multiple partner. You know, once you take the boundaries of marriage is for a sexual union between man and wife, producing children, and a committed relationship, once you take those boundaries away, anything goes. And that's what we're seeing now in the culture.
You mentioned that the president is, in effect, fine with same-sex marriage. But do you believe that he will take steps to protect individuals, churches, businesses that do not affirm same-sex marriage?
Well, I believe in his heart Trump does support religious liberty, freedom of conscience, the First Amendment, but I also think that there is a battle going on in the administration. We had an offering of a religious liberty executive order. It was being talked about throughout the conservative media. People were happy about it. They were thinking, wow, this is really going to protect people. And then it went down. There's a battle in the administration over religious liberty. I'm hoping that the conservative people who are now throughout the administration, we're hearing about wonderful conservative leaders who've been placed in the administration. We're hoping the conservatives will prevail and we will get a solid executive order defending people's freedom of conscience, not to involve their business in a same-sex wedding, not to have to provide abortifacients to their corporation. We're hoping that our religious liberty is defended after 8 years of seeing Obama undermine it at every turn.
In terms of protecting religious liberty, what do we know about Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch.
This is tricky. First of all, I wouldn't want to predict how any judge or justice who gets on the Supreme Court rules. We already see Justice Kennedy, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, who said he was for judicial restraint. Justice Anthony Kennedy has been the leading advocate for homosexuality on the high court and wrote the homosexual so-called marriage decision. Having said that, Neil Gorsuch has a record of standing up for religious liberty, and that is what he's best known for. He is said to be in the mode of Justice Scalia. He has friends like Robbie George, who are powerful conservative, you know, advocates of you know, constitutional originalism, not writing law through the courts. And he has done some rulings. And for example, he sided with the Hobby Lobby and the religious liberty case. So those are the good things. Now, already when he went in the confirmation process, he said that both I believe, Roe v. Wade and Obergefell, the homosexual so-called marriage decision, were settled. Now, I think he knows that he has to say that. So there are some conservatives that said, oh, look, he's already given up on Roe v. Wade and the gay marriage decision. However, there were senators who were ready to jump down his throat had he said, I'm pro-life, I'm going to overturn Roe. That the politics of America right now are such that you cannot give that away in a confirmation process. But there are some things that worry me about Justice Gorsuch. He apparently praised one of his assistants who was legal, who worked with him, who was in a homosexual relationship. Gorsuch praised that and said, I'm happy for you. He attends a very, very liberal church whose pastor is a progressive, pro-gay, pro-choice. We do know one thing. We know that the justice that would have been appointed by a President Hillary Clinton would be a doctrinaire leftist, like Obama's justices. So we do know that Gorsuch is many degrees better, more conservative than a Hillary Clinton.
We'll take a break and continue our conversations in a couple minutes with Peter LaBarbera. Join the Illinois Family Institute for a special forum, Climate Change and the Christian, with Dr. Calvin Beissner in Rockford, Arlington Heights, Orland Park, and Peoria.
The green movement threatens to trap the poor in poverty and rob people of property rights by touting false or exaggerated claims of eco-disaster.
Dr. Calvin Beissner is the founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. You don't want to miss his presentation on climate change and the Christian. What's true? What's not settled science? And what's our responsibility?
Now, it's true that if you love God, you will try to take good care of the earth. And I encourage you to do exactly that. But that's not gospel. That's law.
The Illinois Family Institute Climate Change and the Christian Forum is free. So bring your family and friends. Visit IllinoisFamily.org for times, dates, and locations. Or call 708-781-9328.
Hi, this is Pastor McCracken, pastor of the Church of Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Markham, Illinois. For the last 4 years, our church has been struggling to overcome the city's efforts to shut us down. In the midst of all of our legal issues, we felt overwhelmed and discouraged. All we wanted to do was worship the Lord and serve our community. We needed a law firm that not only had the knowledge of the law, but the same commitment of the kingdom of God. The Lord connected us with the law firm of Malcolm Baker. The attorneys at Malcolm Baker have not only provided us with exceptional legal representation and counsel, but have also provided us with the added gift of lawyers who pray with us and seek the guidance of the Lord at every step. After working with Malcolm Baker, we can't imagine working with anyone else.
Hi, this is Noel Stert, an attorney with Malcolm Baker. If your church or ministry has any legal needs, please call us 312-726-1243 or look us up online at malcolmbaker.com.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. I'm joined by Peter LaBarbera, the president of AmericansForTruth.com, and with LifeSiteNews.com. Peter, what's your reaction to Illinois House Bill 1785? This is legislation that would amend the Vital Records Act to allow people who reject their sex to easily change their gender and the name on their birth certificate.
Well, I think this is just the most ridiculous thing that we believe now, or the left believes in America, that you can alter reality simply by declaration. You have a 15-year-old boy who decides that he is actually a transgender woman, and he will be able to go and get his birth certificate changed after he, you know, shows that he's serious about this. And then from that point on, everybody has to accommodate this confused boy. The schools will have to accommodate. The pressure will be on, of course, and of course the non-discrimination codes in Illinois will probably mandate it, that this boy who probably still has his genitalia, because remember, under 1785, House Bill 1785, you do not have to go through surgery. In fact, that's what it's changing. And what people don't realize is there are many, many men, biological men, who still have their sex organs, who identify as women, who are allowed to call themselves women, even though they still have male sex organ. You know, we cannot validate gender confusion through the law. That's what this is all about. Validating it, and then once a person is allowed to attain this false status, then they effectively push that on the whole society through other pro-LGBT legislation.
So if House Bill 1785 is enacted, what's going to happen to, let's say, high school or college football programs or whatever?
If House Bill 1785 passes, it will only make it easier for transgender activists, gender confusion activists, we call them, to push their agenda in the name of non-discrimination. We already have seen in Texas, for example, a female wrestler who was taking testosterone, a male hormone, and bulking up. And she wanted to wrestle the boys, but they wouldn't let her in Texas because Texas, they go by the birth certificate. So she ended up wrestling. She won the girls' wrestling title because she was so much stronger because she's taking testosterone. And there's a case of a weightlifter winning, who was a man who became a woman. He won the female a female weightlifter title. We're seeing this all over the place. Now imagine if 1785 becomes law, then the person will be able to declare to the school a boy student, biological boy, with male muscles, male bulk. Men are stronger. That's just the way it is. Feminists don't like it, but that's the truth. He'll be able to say, I am a woman, and declare it. See, that's what these laws do. People think, oh, it's just let the guy be what he wants to be, but they don't understand that every single one of these laws has ramifications for the culture. Just like, remember what the argument we heard on same-sex so-called marriage was. Let them get married. It doesn't affect anybody. The famous question, what does my gay marriage have to do with your life, with your marriage, with anybody else's? No effect. Lo and behold, after gay marriage becomes the law of the land and then ultimately mandated by the Supreme Court, lo and behold, we see case after case of small businesses being forced to participate in same-sex marriages. And we literally see our liberty, our First Amendment freedoms on the line because of homosexual activism resulting in counterfeit marriage, declaring that two men or two women can get married when that's totally fallacious and counterfeit. Now we'll see the same thing on transgenderism. We're seeing a very radical gender confusion agenda being imposed in the name of nice sounding things like rights, equality, non-discrimination. But we
fairness.
Know fairness, be fair. It's all about the the gender confused child or the man. And we're only now beginning to see the ramifications. In sports, men who become women still have advantages. They have physical advantages. They should not be allowed to compete with biologically born women and vice versa. It's just wrong. And the average American, I think, has no clue as to how big the ramifications are. And one more, if I could, Monty, is just putting the imprimatur of the state on this gender confusion will only lead more children to embrace it. We're already seeing children embrace these identities like genderqueer, trans women, agender, bigender. It keeps growing. And this is only going to stoke the gender confusion that is leading so many kids astray.
You talked about sports and maybe the impact on businesses. But if this legislation is enacted, I'm sure there's got to be some way this will harm churches and faith-based institutions.
Well, I think that once you have that designation that you are, you have a biological, for example, let's just take the 17-year-old boy. He goes through the process. He is actually a biological male. He has retained his genitalia. He has not gone through the operation, and that's horrifying that he actually would consider it, but he hasn't done that yet. As many transgenders, they don't do it, or they wait. He decides that he now has the state of Illinois saying that he's a female. He goes to a church. He might even go to a church intentionally. He might even target a biblical church, a Bible-believing church, in order to promote transgender activism. He shows up. He uses the wrong restroom. The church says that's against our policies. He says, "Well, you can't. I'm a female." These are lawsuits waiting to happen. And if you believe that the LGBT movement does not want to push its agenda, you don't understand the LGBT movement. It's all about, as one of our speakers at an Americans for Truth banquet, Bob Riley, talked about, it's all about self-rationalization. You need to have society change to accommodate your identity. People are embracing false identities, be it gay, lesbian, transgender, genderqueer, or any number of transgender identities that we now have. They're embracing these false identities, but they want to be validated by society, and they are completely in favor of using the power of the state to rationalize their own confusion, their own rebellion. And so that's why we see this incredibly fanatical movement, which is pushing everybody else to change to accommodate their lifestyle. And that's what this is all about.
Well, how can House Bill 1785 be stopped in a blue state like Illinois?
Well, people of faith need to call their state lawmakers immediately and express their opposition very civilly, don't get angry, to House Bill 1785. Say, look, the fact is, boys are boys, girls are girls. We don't want boys in girls' restrooms. We don't want girls in We don't want biological boys in girls' locker rooms, and we certainly don't want stronger boys participating in girls' sports teams. This transgender revolution, and it is a revolution, and even the gay activists talk about the LGBT movement as a revolution. This is very unpopular. Most people do not think that biological men should be in a female restroom or a female locker room. I know this is stuff that most people don't want to think about, but this is how crazy it gets. And so what parents need to say is, look, let's just keep things according to nature's way. Let's just let women in the women's restroom. Let's let girls stay in the locker room without being even, they don't want to see a man or a boy in their locker room space. Let's preserve that. And I think that goes beyond Democrat, Republican. That's just most Americans and most Illinoisans believe that.
And if people want to connect with Peter LaBarbera, what should they do?
You can find us at AmericansForTruth.com. That's Americans, F-O-R, Truth, AmericansForTruth.com. And I'm also writing for LifeSiteNews.com, and you can sign up for their newsletter there.
Peter LaBarbera, thank you so much for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org. And look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.